Welcome then. This is a calling to order at 7:11 p.m. The September 9th KPFT LSB regular meeting. We do not expect to have an executive session today. So the first item would be calling to order and checking for a quorum and doing the roll call. So Mr. Secretary, would you go ahead and do that?
Yes. Thank you. Melissa Louie. Lillian Kerr.
Present.
Lynn Etienne. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Jerry Fowler. Lori Gebick.
Present.
Rhonda Garner.
Present.
Robert Gartner. Rico Henriquez.
Yo.
Rob Lee.
Present.
Michelle Lightfield. Anita Long.
Present.
P.K. McCary.
P.K., there you are.
Sean McPherson. Terry Mercer.
Rory has requested an excused absence.
And he is. Yes, I have him as excused. Sorry about that. Stuart Nance.
Yes, I'm here.
Rick Norris.
Hey, everybody, I'm here.
Jane Scheidler. Debbie Smith.
Here.
Ron Stubbers.
Here.
Sorry. And Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Colby Wright. And then we had Susan Young as excused as well. And then Sandy Wiseman, I've got him, but not a voting member.
He's present. Thank you.
Great. So my understanding is that we would then meet quorum. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, at least quorum. All right. Thank you kindly for that. Is there any objection to excusing Tori Mercer and Susan Young from this meeting? They have requested excused absence. Not hearing any objection, we'll go ahead and excuse those two people. The next item then that we have is the agenda. So I'm going to go ahead and read through that agenda. So this is the September 9th, 2026 KPFT regular LSB meeting by Zoom conference. As a note, we have public comment at 8 o'clock. That's at a fixed time. Agenda items in the order on the agenda can be pulled before or after, or pushed out after the public comment period. That public comment period is 30 minutes. So it'll be at 8 p.m. and we will adjourn by 10 p.m., hopefully before that time. Item 1 on the agenda is the call to order. Item 2 is a roll call and determination of quorum. Item, and as well as excused absences. Item 3 is agenda approval, where we are now. Item 4 is approval of minutes from the previous meeting. Those minutes went out on the 7th of this month for the August 12th meeting. Item 5 would be unfinished business. There's none listed currently. Item 6 is new business. I have not received any requests for new business prior to the meeting.
Excuse me. Can I just texted you. Can I have a new business moment at the appropriate time?
How about during new business? Item 6 would be new business. Item 7 is the GM's report. Item 8 is staff recognition. Item 9 would be the committee and task force reports. Item 10 is public comment at 8 p.m. Item 11 is the director's reports, PNB director's reports. Item 12, confirmation of the next LSB meeting being October 14th. And item 13 would be adjournment of this meeting. Are there any amendments or objections to the agenda as read? All right. Hi, Melissa. Not hearing you. Then we'll go ahead and approve the agenda. I think Melissa was not here when we started. Melissa, do you want to say hello? And Richard can record you as being present.
I'm here.
Great. Thank you. If we find other people, we'll note those people at that time. So the agenda is approved then. Item 4 is approval of the minutes. Again, those went out on 9-7. Is there any objection to approving the minutes as they were sent out? Okay, not hearing any objection. We'll go ahead and approve those minutes. Unfinished business, item 5. I do not believe that we have any unfinished business. But it looks like for item 6, we do have some new business coming up. So item 6 would be new business. Mr. Lee, you had.
Oh, we're going to start with that. Sure. Absolutely. I propose, to be able to support our awards night, our first annual awards night, that we get lots of attendance from board members. I would encourage board members to buy a table. At some point, the prices on the tables will be available. But at minimum, I would like to propose that the board buy a table and then, you know, we fill it with ourselves or others. But I think that would be a great way to support this endeavor. And I also believe that we need to do more as board members to support KPFT. Thank you very much.
I agree and support that support.
All right. So this is not so much a resolution, but a note and request. Would you say that that would be?
Would it be appropriate that I just made this and then I'm happy to be the coordinator. And so everybody that wants a ticket, get with me. And I guess I'll send out something and, kind of do indications of interest. Sandy later will tell us how many seats are at a table, et cetera, et cetera. So is that fair?
Sounds great to me.
Great. Thank you.
Anybody? Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. I would note also that, Jane Scheidler is here.
Thank you.
Jesus. All right. We've got you recorded then. So that's new business. Are there other items of new business? Not hearing those, then we would move to item 7,
I have a question.
Maybe?
Since we're not doing the governance committee anymore, should we take it out of the agenda?
I'm right.
That's an excellent suggestion, and I will do that. Yes.
Okay.
So noted. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Then that takes us to item 7, the GM's report. Mr. Weinman, you have the floor.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. As we wind down the fiscal year, we only got a couple of weeks left, and then fiscal 2026 is done. I'm happy to report that as we come into the home stretch here, that we're still on beam to be self-sustaining. Our bank account maintains its level nature, meaning we're bringing in just enough to cover the money going out. And that's kind of where we need to be. And again, the Sustainer program helps with that. Of course, your individual donations help with that too. But I think we'll wind up the year in good shape relative to the initial budget that was put down. And we'll begin 2027 on the new cycle. Our summer concert series, which helped fund the last fund drive, concluded with a Friday night at the Shoeshine Charlie's Big Top with the Hightailers and Midnight Beverage doing a wonderful show. Altogether, the concert series raised a little more than $5,000 in total, which was, in my estimation, a home run, considering we had some rainy nights and spotty attendance as a result of the first couple of shows. So anyway, that's in the rearview mirror and really zips up the last fun drive. And we turn our eyes just to thank Robin and Rhonda and Sandra Rawline and Rico and Blue, who's on the call tonight, I think. Thank you guys for coming out and, of course, helping Robin, who was centric to the whole thing, making sure that everything was set up and everybody that bought it.
Uh-oh.
Oops. We just lost Sandy.
Apologies.
There you are.
Got a new discount plan for internet. My apologies. Let me, anyway, thank you, Robin, for your help with the concert series. That was a lot of work. If somebody says, let's do a concert series, you need to volunteer to put the whole thing together and kind of make sure it goes out okay. It ain't me. It was kind of fun though. So again, we're getting ready for our next fund drive, which on air will begin on October 15th and conclude shortly. I may be looking at plan B here before too long. Again, my apologies. We'll see what happens here. I'm going to click this camera off in hopes of better bandwidth. Just bear with me. This kind of operates like the KPFT studio.
Can you bring me a sparkling water? So,
anyway, okay. So yeah. We're getting ready for the next fund drive. Rob Lee alluded to our first annual Bricky Award luncheon.
Okay.
It's going to be held at the Mickey Duck. And it'll be November 14th from noon to 3 o'clock. I don't have any ticket prices yet or tables to offer yet. We need to sort that out. We're going to get a table map from Rusty at the Mucky Duck, and we'll start to assign these things. And tickets and tables will become available October 1st. So that's a note on the next fund drive. Rob Lee is working on a couple of things with respect to the next fund drive, a dinner at his house again, maybe with Glenna Bell like we did last time. It was a really beautiful evening. And we're also looking at other events for that drive, maybe a silent auction at the Mucky Duck. It is amenable for doing something like that. But anyway, a lot of energy is going into that next fund drive. I want to thank Dr. Bob Sanborn and his team, including Rico, and that's on the call tonight. We're planning Amplified America with a launch date of October 1st, originating out of Houston. This will be a broadcast on the 5 Pacifica stations with the hopes of attracting underwriting from very major 501c3s such as Feeding America and supplying as much as $300,000 to the Central Services Kitty. It's a lot of money. It doesn't quite fill the gap that's not being supplied by LA and New York, but it fills part of it, and we're hopeful we can turn our sites to funding all of Pacifica with a different model than what we're traditionally used to, which is coming on air and really begging and screaming and hoping that we make our goal. At KPFT, we've been very lucky to make that goal each and every time out on the last few drives, and I'm hoping this time around everybody on this board will tap a couple of their friends on the shoulder and say, hey, can you cough up $5 a month for our community radio station, it would be helpful. We've been working on this tower project. It's kind of static. I don't know what happens with the people at the permit department. There are three outstanding items. One has been cleared. I've submitted more documentation. And they say there's up to 20 business days between review cycles. We're closing in on that mark. So, again, I'm hopeful that we can get these things ticked off. I do need to make a trip down there. There is a possibility of getting one or two of the three released on an in-person basis, but that's hopeful. These people do things their way. So again, Rob, thank you for your contributions and your work to raise funds. I want to thank Arlo for continuing in the summer heat to cut the weeds in the lawn and the other stuff back in the yard, and even has eradicated some of the weeds on the side of the building, I think with a vinegar spray. So Arlo out in the heat and doing some electrical work to boot. Thanks for what you do. I talked about it last month, but I'll just touch upon it briefly right here. If you have the KPFT radio app, it's not working right, delete the app and then download the app that's currently in the app store. The app stores changed their rules, and so we had to go back and develop more code for the app. This has been done, tested, and is ready for everybody to go re-download if need be. I want to thank Teresa and her team, which includes Augie and Melinda and Matt and Kurt and others, for coming in and calling lapsed owners. She's been continuing to do that, dragging in three or four people and making them make these calls in the middle of the afternoon. The people go, you used to support KPFT, but we see your donation has lapsed. These efforts have raised $7,829 and maybe more importantly, brought back 59 members. So Teresa, thank you for those efforts and those that come downtown with you periodically to make those calls. Rhonda Gardner's on the call with us tonight, and she's been coming in and continuing to help Robin clean up those credit card fraudulent charges. I think we're just about through that stack of stuff, and is continuing to help with other items alleviate some of the load on what Robin has to do with Allegiance. This is no small task. For those of you that ever have thought about maybe putting Allegiance on your desktop and working with it, we'd welcome the help. So if we could only do that, was that the easy? It's difficult, and Robin does a great job, and we thank Rhonda as well. I might have mentioned it last month, but I'll mention it again. The FCC sanction that was placed on Pacifica for malpractice in New York and LA with respect to enrichment of hosts and commercialism has been lifted. We were able to stay in the guidelines, and at first opportunity, the FCC has removed those constraints. We did receive a second round of training from the FCC lawyer, which will be disseminated to all on-air personnel, just as the original batch was mandatory to stay on air. And this deals with elections and who you can have on and what you can do as a Pacifica host in terms of speaking about the election. It's there are a lot of rules around this, and they're watching. So we want to stay in the lines and keep our licenses. And again, thank you to John Amella and our FCC lawyers for making this possible. Also to Stephanie Wells, who makes sure all of this actually happens. You know, Howard is probably going to sleep about now or pretty soon, because he's got to wake up at like 4 a.m. to be downtown again to host all the things that go on in the morning alongside of Jack and the other volunteers in the studio early for Egberto and so on. And I want to thank him. He's done amazing work driving long distances on his days off just to come in and fix a problem so we can get back on the air. That's Howard. If you see him, tell him thank you. The coffee continues to be brewed thanks to Keith and Cruiser Roaster Coffee Company. Thank you for that. In terms of social media, there was some data in the report. We're hanging in there. If you have posts pertaining to KPFT, hashtag your post. It's hashtag KPFT Houston, the word Houston spelled out, TX, KPFT Houston TX. You hashtag it, our social media will see it. And we're using several platforms at this point. Don't ask me to list them. Blue may be on the call and could talk about that. She's helpful in terms of grinding those gears on social media along with Elise, Marlo, and others. And it's been very active and has been very helpful in terms of getting communication out to the general public, listeners and otherwise. You know, Marlo's been bringing on new music shows and music hosts. You might have noticed some changes in the lineup. Some of them you might agree with, some of them you might not. But we're trying to get younger, and we're trying to do that quickly. And so we're working on bringing on the next generation of programmers and musics to KPFT. So I want to thank Blue and Rico on the call. And Marlo too, because they're working with interns. I mean, not only working with interns, they're managing an intern program. I think at this point we have 5 or 6 interns. A high school student is going to be starting this week. It's really wonderful. And also they're helping us do our mail outs and other things that, you know, these little tasks that really take a lot of time. And I'm very, very grateful for their presence. And I know Robin is too. So I want to thank them both for doing that and for their efforts in teaching in the studio. They're training these people in the studio, microphone techniques, how to record, how to edit, all of it. So great job, guys. It's one of the reasons we're here for. We have a brand new host, or a co-host, I should say, on Conversations. He was on Tuesday this week. His name is Corey, Corey Bierenbaum. I met Corey at the unveiling, which is in the Hebrew tradition. When you die, you are buried immediately, but it takes 1 year for an unveiled gravestone. You put a marker in after 1 year. And this was service was for the late Jill Morgenstern, former programmer and all around terrific person at KPFT who passed away from cancer. And after the service at the graveyard, there was a lunch, and I was sitting across the table from Corey. We started talking. He said, yeah, he said, I'm a professor of economics at Rice. And I used to do conservative talk radio. And that took me back. I mean, I sat back in the chair. I said, so you're a Trump supporter. He said, yeah, he's a good president. I responded, he's a pedophile. He responded, no, he's not. Anyway, after talking to him for a few minutes, I realized that this guy really has what it takes. And so he's on with Michael once a week presenting, I would say, Tea Party Republican economics and theory alongside Michael on Conversations. And the two shows he's been on, the number of phone calls has been enormous, and the interest is amazing. So it might blossom into his own show one day. We'll see. And in the background, we also have Joe Jaworski, who ran for state attorney general, interested in joining us again for a show once a week. And we're trying to work that out as well, get those folks on. Some really interesting people in our community that we can bring forward and put on the airwaves. Right now, we have 2,716 household memberships, as reported by Robin Lewis. We know from the election this translates to about 3,400 members. Coming up, events. Our next fund drive is going to start on air October 15th and run to November 4th. Contributions starting October 1st will go toward a $195,000 goal, up $20,000 from the previous drives, but needed because of the election funds drafted from us and also the funds for audit. So unfortunately, it costs a lot to run this thing, and we have to raise the money. As we touched upon, November 14th at McGonigal's Mucky Duck on Norfolk Street, noon to 3, we're going to do our first annual Bricky Award Luncheon. And again, tickets will be available October 1st. Giving Tuesday, and I'm not exactly sure, Robin's making some plans. We've mailed out things like a snowflake ornament, a KPFT snowflake ornament for your Christmas tree in the past, but she's looking at some things to, for that event. And apart from that, we had a, the Nielsen's, I didn't get the full download for this month. I just glimpsed it. But last month was a 0.9, which was a record high. Unfortunately, it fell back to a 0.6, but that's still not bad. Considering for the last 6-7 months, we've been 0.6 or above. That's really solid compared to where we've been. listenership, again, was 0.9, and the cumulative hours were 110,600. The monthly sustainer income at this point totals $26,752. We hope to up that amount in the October drive. We may get some help from a major donor. This is coming from 1,585 donors, giving us available cash as of Monday, Labor Day, bank holiday, or Tuesday morning, of $166,698.45, of which $5,126.05 is grant money restricted for the payment associated with supporting our Huntsville repeater. I'm working with Rob on trying to get with the Brown Foundation to refill this account. We have about 7 months left on it, and then we'll have to make a strategic decision as to what we want to do with that cost. I don't really see a lot of direct support from Huntsville at pledge drive time, although there are members that live in that area. Our credit card balance is paid off, and the 56 for 56 campaign currently running, I just glimpsed, we're at $130,241. That will largely expire at the end of the month. And then we'll begin our fund drive. And then December, we have a quiet drive, and it will reopen briefly in calendar 2027. And we're hopeful of getting 3 times 56 or 168,000 total. So we're on our way to making that goal. It's another $38,000. Anybody have any questions?
One question. When you said that the goal for this next fundraiser, fund drive, is going up partly for the election, that's the PNB / station election, not like election coverage or something like that, right?
We have to pay for the election supervisor and election buddy, right, and there are other costs associated. Right. And central services is drafting from each station an additional, and I don't have the exact number for you, but it's right at around $1,700 per month. And that's going to go on until February. That will continue. And the auditors, who are doing, I think, 4 years worth of audits, they're drafting a little over $7,200 per month. So when you put the two together, there's an additional burden on the station. So in order just to beef up the kitty a little bit and get through the end of the year, I thought it would be wise to up this at this opportunity. We've done a really, really good job. We haven't asked on the air for money since our May-June drive concluded. So we've gone half of June, July, August, September, half of October in between drives. I hope all the listeners appreciate that. And when we ask, they'll be able to step up.
Lillian, you had a...
Yes, I'm sorry, I couldn't find the raise hand thing, so I'm raising my real hand.
I see your hand.
Sandy, I'm curious as to why we are giving airtime to somebody who's a Trump supporter.
Well, Lillian, I think I'll summarize that by saying we give you Trump airtime. Look, it's community radio, and yes, there's been a lot of input over the last, probably a year, 2 years, I don't know how long, from many individuals requesting a more balanced conversation. And I think this is very important. You know, your politics are your politics, mine are mine, et cetera. And this gentleman, Corey, and he's an absolute, really super person. And he's got facts at his fingertips. He was actually chief of staff for Congressman Stateman, who was convicted of fraud, by the way, and pardoned by Trump. But he's very quick on his feet, and he's got the facts at his fingertips. But the, you know, it's open opinion.
Well, right. But
free speech.
Don't they have enough? They seem to have, the right wing seems to have plenty of avenues to get their thoughts and opinions out there. So why are we at KPFT giving them time?
Again, the interest and the conversation and the views expressed are all done in a very calm, reasonable manner. Mm-hmm. And there's no non-facts. There's not any lying going on. We won't tolerate that. And remember, Michael Woodson is right alongside of him to moderate. Right. And it's not like he's got the platform. He's responding to questions from listeners.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll tune in, listen to see what he has to say.
But you really should. He's really good.
Yeah. That would be my recommendation.
But it does concern me that KPFT has a mission statement, and I'm not sure where how his views align with Pacifica's mission. But, I'll learn more
about
that
it. There's lots of liberal networks that are there on as well. So
okay.
You can argue both sides. But anyway, I think in terms of community engagement and enrichment of our programming, that Corey really has a place at KPFT.
Okay. Thank you.
Try it. You'll like it.
Rob, you had your hand up.
I'll go after Lyndon.
Okay. Lyndon, do you have your hand up?
Yes, thank you. Sandy, you said that they were drafting $7,000 a month. Is that from all four is that the sum of all four stations?
No, that's per station times five stations, Lyndon. All stations.
Okay. All that's stations, what I wanted to know. And then I agree with Lillian 100%. 100%, and no, the liberals don't have a whole bunch of places to get their views across. I'm totally against this. Thank you.
Well, before you say that, why don't you give it a listen and then decide?
I have listened to plenty of right-wing crap. And I know crap when I hear it.
Listen to left-wing crap, Michael, in the morning when Corey's on. That's
Michael is not that left-wing. He's not left-wing
that's
at
right.
all.
Exactly.
So you're going to balance somebody down the center with somebody from the far right who thinks Trump is doing a good job? I just saw, some actor or something just a minute ago. He said, oh yeah, I think Trump has a chance of going down as one of the greatest presidents ever. So.
All right.
I'm done.
Calling that to order, Mr. Lee.
Yes. I just want to say I joined the board for fundraising, and I can say this, thanks to the staff and thanks to some of the changes that we've made, and our fundraising is much better. But in order to fundraise, you have to throw a very wide net. And I will say this, just as an example, I get to, due to a number of things, hang out with a lot of people that are pretty far on the right. One guy in particular lives in a massive house just right off River Oaks Boulevard, loves music. I invited him to something at KPFT, hoping to get him to become a member and to get involved with the station a little bit more. And in the back of my mind, fundraising. He's certainly got a lot of cash. So he told me that station is a bunch of communists, and I will never give a dime or do anything at that station. We've got to make sure that we, whether you agree with me or not on this, but we have to make sure that we are at least offering something, maybe not a 50-50, but a little bit of something to the other side to try to get more listeners. Everybody might disagree with me, but I joined this to fundraise, and so I'm trying to make us a bigger net to catch more fish.
All right. Thanks, Rhonda.
Well, Well said, Rob.
Sandy, when is that first show with Corey going to air?
Actually, Corey's already been
on. He's been on
twice. He was on this past Tuesday with Michael. I don't know if he's coming back next Tuesday or Monday, but he's going to be scheduled next week again.
Okay, but I could listen on the archive, right?
Yes, yeah, you can listen on the archives, exactly.
Okay.
He's not
I share the same concerns about giving time, not necessarily to right-wing politics, but to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a pedophile. He is a fucking pedophile. And I'm hoping that Michael and you or whatever, you know, I hope he doesn't get on there and toot Trump's horn because he's a pedophile. Period.
All right. Thanks, Rhonda. Let's focus on, what
you
we're working
what?
On here.
I'm entitled to my opinion.
Yeah, you are.
So,
yeah.
And I'm done. I'm done. So I'm done.
Thank you for that. Jane, your hand is up.
I'm kind of with Sandy on this. I think that we want to present ourselves to the community, and I hate to use this expression, but I'm using it consciously, fair and balanced, that we show up as listening and listening to the community. And as much as it makes me vomit, I think it also puts an opportunity to put somebody on the air and open the phone lines. So I'm just throwing that out
there.
Thank you.
Michael's got a very, I'll just toss in there, Michael's got a very interesting show and he gets some very interesting guests. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he had some other interesting things happening on there. So I think it's a good show to listen to. So I enjoy it. And I would recommend that people listen and then form your opinions. Are there other, yes, Debbie.
Yeah, Egberto in the mornings, I listen to him going to work and he has some, right ones that call in on the phone and, you know, he handles those conversations really well, I think. And he stops them sometimes when they get going a little bit, you know, way, way, way out there to the right. So we're already hearing a little bit, but those are phone call ins. So I'm concerned too, a little bit, half and half of when they're actually on air in a show, but I'm willing to listen. That's
it. Thank you. And, Richard, I would note that we also have Glenn and Michelle on the call. So if you guys could say, I see you waving, Glenn, could you say hi? And I think we need a voice confirmation. I've been told. Michelle is also waving.
I'm here.
Hello, everyone.
If you need a voice. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here. Sorry for my lateness this evening.
You good? Yeah. Because we're on the stream and there are people that are listening and can't see people waving or hands that are up. That's the reason for the request for the voice. So, thank you both. So that's, the GM report for this evening. We've got 10 minutes until public comment, but we can start with staff recognition, which is item 8. Does anybody have any items? See, we've got say first, thank you for a couple of folks who have showed up to this meeting and are enjoying our conversation. Thank you. Staff recognition, anyone, someone from the board? Rob.
I just wanted to thank Stu, who's with us and I'm certainly enjoying his shows and then, also, oh, now I'm having a mind, blank, but he's got a show on Blues and Hi-Fi, Clint Broussard. And, you know, I think he does a great job. And then just finally, in all my interactions with staff there, I think they're working their tails off. I showed up to one of the concerts and Marlo was there, Sandy was there, Robin was there. They're all working hard to get this thing done. So thank you.
Thank you for that. Okay. Have anybody else wants to toss something in there?
Yeah, I got my hand up. Thanks, Rico, for everything he's doing back there on the sidelines. It's nice to have, right. Acknowledgement of what he's doing.
Appreciate that. All right. Thank you. Rhonda?
I would like to say that I am very proud of the staff that has been organized. I'm there and I kind of see, things when I go on in once a week. And I just think everybody is doing a really, really amazing job. And I feel like we're very fortunate to have such a good team batting for KPFT. Thank you.
Thanks, Rhonda. Appreciate that. And I would say that just not in line here, but some of the new shows that have come up, I appreciate that happening as well. Some of those are kind of high energy and they're very interesting. And I also listen to Clint. I think he's got a couple of different shows that are running now. So always good. All right. Thank you. If somebody has something else, they can raise their hand. Otherwise, it takes us to, we still have a few minutes left, item 9, which is our committee and task force reports. Normally, we start off with development and outreach. Teresa, do you think you can give us about 5 minutes or 6 minutes worth before public comment? There you are.
I'm sorry. I had to get back on.
You're good.
I just want to thank everyone who has come in and called lapsed donors. We should have done it this week, and I'm going to try to get it done next week at crew if we can't come in tomorrow. We are still just kind of throwing out ideas and still hoping. In fact, I have heard from a few of you about, hey, I have an idea for a silent auction item if we have an event. And I know that Sandy has an idea specifically about how he wants to limit that or how he wants to focus on it. But I think that perhaps some of you know a friend or another organization that you could approach who has an idea for a unique service, something very unique, like a backstage tour of X, something that might be a very unique experience, not necessarily an item. And if you do, please have a conversation with me. And clearly, that is not any guarantee that Sandy would choose to allow that to be an item for the silent auction. But I think that's another thing that board members can do. Just put on your thinking cap and perhaps you have something that people might really enjoy. I still intend, if I can, to go with a crew of people to the Pride event in the Woodlands, and we also could possibly have a table at the event coming up in Old Town Spring, and we are still thinking of how we can assist with Giving Tuesday. So if anybody has any ideas how we can make our community feel more involved and more inclusive and more, more like a family or more like a little community in itself, in support of this station on Giving Tuesday, please give me a call. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Could I add on Teresa's side, if we were going to do a silent auction, I would like for all board members to think of people who have a really nice lake house, who have a condo in Mexico and they don't use it very often, you know, whatever it happens to be. In order to do a silent auction and get money, you have to have good things that somebody wants to pay $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 for. So, you know, whether it is a restaurant owner that's will, you know, offer some sort of great deal, whether it's an attorney that gives a free will, you know, whatever, think about who is in our Rolodex, and that shows how old I am, and that might have something that would sell. I mean, that's the problem with silent auctions. Whatever it is has to sell, and we want $1,000 plus per item. You have to have 4 or 5 really good items, because there's going to be a bunch of stuff that's, you know, probably not going to be that. So thank you.
So Rob, a question for you on that. So are we thinking a few anchor items like that that are high dollar plus other things, or, you know, like I do wooden bowls as a hobby, and, but, you know, they're not going to be $1,000. So, but I would be willing to, contribute some of those. I mean,
that would be a really cool thing, and that would be great, and that would sell. But if we're going to do this, we want
to. But it's not an anchor.
Anchor yeah. items, you know, right. whatever that might be. And I don't know if anybody, I was in one of them and they did a photo safari to Africa. Now, I don't think that was donated, but it probably was something where that there was a big somehow. Profit in there. And I think it had a minimum dollar price. But,
okay.
But whatever it is, use our network and see if anybody has anything like that. There's a lot of work that has to go in to have a successful auction.
Okay. Great. Thanks. And we are running right up to 8 o'clock. So let me, talk about, public comment. So our, bylaws, give a 30-minute time in each LSB meeting for public comment. This is a opportunity for the public to address the board. It's not really interactive, so the board doesn't talk back. The rules for the time are we are currently in an election period for Pacifica and KPFT, so fair campaign rules apply. So we can't have any discussion of candidates or positions or anything like that. We stay away from personnel issues, ad hominem attacks, slander, derogatory statements, and that sort of thing. We have the ability to remove people if we need to, or we'd prefer to give a warning. Board members aren't allowed to comment, speak, or respond. The time for each speaker is 3 minutes. If all speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak up to 2 times. If we have community organizations, they get their 2 3-minute pieces together, so they get a 6-minute piece to up to 6 minutes to go ahead and talk. So why don't we get started with that? We have a couple of folks here. I think first I had Ms. Morrison, Monica Morrison with Texas Native Cats. You have the floor for 6 minutes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. FYI, I'm sorry. I'm suffering a bit from ragweed, so I may be clearing my throat a bit.
Good evening. My name is Monica Morrison, and I'm the founder and director of Texas Native Cats. I got my start in the world of wildlife in the late 90s after a transformative trip to the Amazon and returned home committed to working with big cats. My first step was volunteering at the Dallas Zoo, ultimately as a tiger docent. I took my first wildcat-related trip to Mexico with the zoo to capture and collar ocelots and saw a jaguarundi, a small neotropical cat about the size of a house cat. Then I volunteered at two DFW area big cat rescues. At the first, I became the volunteer coordinator, built feline enclosures, learned to weld, fed cats, and became friends with them. Later, I volunteered at another big cat rescue in DFW for a short time until I had a revelation. These cats belonged in the wild, not in captivity, though they had excellent care. Around 2012, I returned from a third trip to Bolivia where I tried to help an individual start a big cat rescue that never became reality but resulted in a number of good stories. On that final trip, I was returning from DFW feeling dejected because I wanted to help the cats. Suddenly, in the backseat of the taxi, it seemed as though someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Monica, the cats right here in Texas need help." I thought about it for the remainder of the 10-minute ride home and made the decision to advocate for our wild Texas felines, though the name Texas Native Cats came later. A subsequent research trip to Kenya to study African lions and others to Brazil to help jaguars solidified my desire to help native cats. Texas Native Cats, an all-volunteer organization, is a fiscally sponsored 501c3, which I established in 2016. We're based in Dallas and have volunteer chapters in DFW, Austin, Houston, and we hope a potential chapter at College Station. The majority of our efforts have been as exhibitors at events and making presentations to groups about our amazing cats. We work with law enforcement, Texas Master Naturalists, schools, nature centers, garden clubs, you name it. We display and discuss a number of artifacts, including taxidermy bobcats and a mountain lion, paw prints, cat vocalizations, synthetic cat fur and scat, and also have several educational flyers and cat coloring pages for guests. Our presentations often encompass all five cat species, with special emphasis on our non-game, no-protection mountain lion and endangered ocelot. We host free virtual guest speaker presentations. Our mission, Texas Native Cats, provides education, outreach, and advocacy for Texas' five species of wild native cats, past and present. Bobcats, mountain lions, ocelots, and previously jaguars, and jaguarundis. We educate adults and children about the diversity of our wild felines, the ecosystem benefits they provide, and the threats they endure. Our advocacy efforts have been especially focused on two species, the ocelot, an endangered species, and the mountain lion, a threatened to imperiled species. Texas is home to the only breeding ocelots in the United States, and efforts are underway to breed them in captivity with release onto South Texas ranches. Representing Texas Native Cats, I have spoken a number of times before the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission on behalf of our mountain lion, which, until 2 years ago, had no protections at all. Two projects will make a significant difference. Our TEKS-based mountain lion education curriculum was created for high school students who will be tomorrow's movers and shakers. TEKS is Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, which are the state curriculum standards for public schools. The other project is supporting the use of canines to protect livestock from predation and, as a result, also help to keep the predators from being killed in retaliation. Using technology in livestock and predator conflict is a future project. Our accomplishments. Texas Native Cats reached a combined 2025 to 2026 to date total of 8,652 Texans educated about our cats, most of whom, frankly, knew nothing about them previously. Our proudest accomplishment has been our efforts with Texans for Mountain Lions to advocate for implementation of Texas' first-ever protections for mountain lions in 2024. Through the work of many Since 2021, the Parks and Wildlife Commission voted unanimously in favor of a ban on canned hunting and the implementation of 36-hour trap check times. We continue to endorse mandatory lion mortality reporting, which would provide abundance and other data. This is critical information. While we're proud of our accomplishments and what they symbolize, there's still much work ahead. I leave you with my favorite inspirational quotes. Henry Ford said, "Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right." And Eldridge Cleaver, "You're either part of the problem or part of the solution." The journey continues. You may reach me at monica@texasnativecats.org or our website by the same name, texasnativecats.org. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. We also have Catherine Dembski here from the Eternal Gandhi Museum. Catherine, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you so much for having us here today. I'm Catherine Dembski, Executive Director at the Eternal Gandhi Museum, Houston. And this is the only museum in the Americas dedicated to Mahatma Gandhi. We're located right here in town in the southwest corner of Houston, and our focus is on Gandhi's legacy of truth, nonviolence, peace, love, and service, and then how those ideas are meaningful in our everyday lives. Our mission is to cultivate those universal values through education and community dialogue and to encourage people to embrace nonviolence in their own lives and communities. The museum is made up of three major galleries. The first one is called His Journey, where we follow Gandhi through childhood to Indian independence and how he practiced nonviolence to create the philosophy. And then into our second gallery called Our Journey, where we look at other peacemakers from around the world who have taken up that same philosophy and have made large-scale changes in their communities. And these are people like Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, and Malala. And then finally on to My Journey, where each guest gets to make a commitment to making change in their communities or even their families using nonviolent means that they learned during the exhibits. So education is a huge part of what we do at the museum, and we have a goal to bring every student in Houston into the museum before they graduate from high school. Our exhibit is Teaks Aligned, and it's an interactive program where we take the students through the museum first, and then we have a movement station where we learn a little bit about yoga, and then we go to a traditional Indian Khanti cloth making station where we practice using the charcoal wheel and learning how to weave fabric. So if there's any teachers listening today, please come by the museum for a tour and a chat. We also offer a lot of free programs throughout the year, so keep an eye on our events page at egmh.org. We have speakers, film screenings, workshops, cultural programs, and of course the annual Walk for Peace, which my colleague Shesh Bala will tell you about shortly. Also, volunteers are an important part of the museum, and there's a lot of opportunities and ways to get involved, from helping at events and welcoming visitors and becoming a docent to lead the tours. So if you haven't been to the museum yet, please come by, and I'll turn it over to Shesh now.
Yeah, thank you very much, Catherine. Thank you all for the time that you have afforded us to talk about Eternal Gandhi Museum, Houston. My name is Sesh Bala. I'm a trustee of the Eternal Gandhi Museum, Houston. I would like to mention briefly about the 21st Annual Peace Walk, which will take place on Sunday, September 27th. It will start in the Herman Park at 9 a.m., starting at the Gandhi statue there. We started this peace walk 20 years ago with a very simple idea: to bring people together and remind our community that peace, nonviolence, truth, love, and service are the values that belong to everyone. The walk is one way of preserving and promoting Mahatma Gandhi's legacy of nonviolence and peaceful conflict resolution. The peace walk is not just about Gandhi or just for the Indian community. It is for all Houstonians. The peace walk is not a competitive race. It is a community walk a chance for families, young people, seniors, community organizers, and people of different backgrounds to work together for peace. It is also a fun event and an opportunity to do some exercise in a relaxed atmosphere. There will also be t-shirts and other gifts for the walkers. I have known Pacifica for many years, starting with KPFA in Berkeley, California, where I was a graduate student and lived there in the late 60s. Pacifica Radio has a long tradition of giving voice to community causes and issues of peace and social justice. We greatly appreciate your help in letting your listeners know about the Peace Walk, whether through an announcement, an interview, your community calendar, or other coverage you find appropriate. And of course, we will be delighted to have members of the Pacifica family join us and walk with us on September 27th. After 20 years, we still believe in the same simple idea with which we began. Peace is not something we merely hope for. It is something each of us can help create. On September 22nd, we invite Houston to walk together for peace. More information is on egmh.org. And thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Do we have other members of the public who would like to address the board? 1438, that would be Nancy. You have the floor. You're there? Nancy?
Oh, my turn?
Your turn.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I'd like to ask again, did management put the Arab Voices show on the FM? Currently on the HD2 channel on Friday at 8 a.m. And that's fine, but it needs to be on the FM where it was since 2002 until last year, August. And I think the reason is it's the worst genocide, worse than the Holocaust. And we shouldn't be putting this in the HD2 only. Another thing is there's another show called Arab Voices on the HD2 on Thursday at 8 p.m. And when you listen to it, it's not Arab Voices. It is another music show called Beats and Buzz with Skyla Dawn. And her show is on the FM on Friday nights before and after the prison show. And I have already reported this. And this is very confusing for people who click it or listen to it, and it's not anything about Arab culture at all. This is a hip-hop show. And why can't y'all correct this? I mean, it seems like it could be corrected easily, and I don't understand why this mistake happened. But the worst part is putting Arab Voices on the HD2 only. Okay, and the next thing I would like to say is we have lost a lot of Black public affairs shows. Either they quit or they left or they were, you know, just taken out. And so we have only two Black public affairs shows that I know of, and they've been moved later into the night. So Pan-African Journal with Akua Holt for the last two Sundays has been at 11 p.m. It used to be at 8 p.m., but it's been moved later. And, you know, you're going to lose a lot of Black listeners. And this is not good at all. I mean, it's like, what's going on here? And then the Conscious Mindset, which was at 11 p.m., was moved to 2 a.m. Monday morning. And that's also local public affairs, local people speaking. And this is, it's not good. It's like you're cutting down our Black audience. Now, if there were lots of other black public affairs shows at more decent hours, I would not be complaining. But we only have two. We've moved them way, way deep into the night.
So that's a 3-minute run.
Thank you.
We'll see if there are other folks, and if not, we can come back. I see that Mr. Crozier has your hand up. Bill, would you?
Yeah.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Ron. I want to thank Monica Morrison and Catherine Dinsky and Seth Bila. I hope I got your names right. I don't know any of you, but thank you for joining the meeting and telling us about your organization. I think we need to do more of this, and I appreciate you having this on the LSB meeting. And if you haven't already been on the air on KPFT, I hope one or more of our program hosts can interview you so you can talk more about your organization. I didn't know about the Texas Native Cats, but that was really interesting too. And we do need to protect our native species as much as we can. And education is one way to help people, you know, raise awareness about them. And I know about the Eternal Gandhi Museum, and I've been a really big follower of the teaching of Mahatma Gandhi for a long time. And I think that fits with the KPFT mission, the Pacifica mission, so well. We really need to be talking more about the International Day of Peace is coming up in a little less than 2 weeks. And Gandhi was such an inspiration and leader and teacher. And remember, he led a nonviolent revolution, totally nonviolent revolution in India. And it shows the power of nonviolence. And even Martin Luther King Jr., you know, learned from him. And I think we need to give those kind of people their, more time on the air so more people can learn about it. There's so much hatred and intolerance that we hear in the media these days, not on KPFT, but other places. And it's nice to have these positive stories that we can hear. So I encourage you to, get some time on the air for these people. If they haven't already been on, or if they haven't been on, maybe have them on again. I know some of our other guests on, the LSB meetings have been on the air too. So appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then let's see. Other members of the public who are interested in addressing the board. Nancy, you have your hand up. You have the floor for 3 minutes. You're still muted, however. There you go.
Okay. Thank you. There are two shows that are public affairs in Spanish. And since 2022, Proyecto Latino Americano with Henry and Alma Cooper. They've been on since, I think, since 2002 or something around three. I don't know, around that time. That show is on HD2 since 2022. And Voz de la Tierra, it is 70% ethnic, superb ethnic cultural music, and 30% international news. And those two shows are on the HD2, and they need to be also on the FM, as they were for many, many, many years. This is a group of people that are in the nation disappearing from the streets more than any other city here in Houston. I mean, we need these shows on the FM. And on the HD2, they're in the morning. Those people are working during the day. This is not a good hour for them. They need to be at night when they come home after work, if they're working. Do you realize we're losing more people of brown than any other city in the nation? And we put these two shows on HD2. HD2 is sort of like Siberia. So I don't understand the reasoning of this programming. It's not in the Pacifica mission. children afraid to go to school, parents afraid to go shopping. They're afraid where they're going to see their family again. It's very awful. It's like the Jews during World War II. So I ask management and ask this board, do something about this. We are one of the five Pacifica stations that should be doing our hardest to help these people. Okay, the other things I have to say are just housekeeping. We've got two listener vacancies on this board. They should be replaced and should not be waiting until January. And then we have runner-ups from the last election. And when that election happened, there was nothing said during that election that runner-ups would not be able to replace vacancies. You know, they could if they wanted, and that includes me. We could sue, and we could win, because it's just wrong, legally and morally wrong. The other thing I want to say is...
If you could go ahead and wrap it up. You're a little over three.
That's enough. Back to you. That's enough. Do something to help people. Come on, board. You end this meeting like it's a race to finish and then adjourn. Do something for the community. Back to you.
Thank you. Thank you for the input. Bill, you have Mr. Crozier, you.
Okay. Thanks. If there's anybody else that wants to speak, something else you're going to bring up too is that I want to thank all of you for, you know, your service being on the boards. You know, I used to be a board member for too many years probably, but anyway, you know, with the new bylaws and these elections are in the works now, the Pacific elections, you know, the LSB is going to be smaller starting next year and, actually starting January. I mean, December, I believe. I forget if the new board seated then, but I encourage all the rest of you who, if you're not running for re-election or if you don't win, to stay as a volunteer for KPFT and, help with whatever, you know, use your skills and your interest to help make the station better. And I appreciate the people that have been hanging around helping with fundraising and other things like that. But there's plenty of other things to do too. And so maybe we can form another group to help the station. You know, we've had a lot of different things going on over the years. Debbie's, you know, been leading a group for many years. I used to help with that some too, to help with building maintenance type stuff, but there's other things too. Just thought I'd put that in your ear. Be thinking about it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that input. All right. If there are not additional members of the public who would like to speak at this moment, I'd like to just thank the folks who did address the board today. We appreciate that. Appreciate you joining the meeting and participating. So we still have a little bit of time left, but in the meantime, we can move to other business that we have. That would be committee and task force reports. All right. Thank you. Let's see. So that takes us to the Committee of Inclusion. Do we have any information from the Committee of Inclusion?
I just sent you the link to one of the free course.
Great.
Earlier today. Sorry that I didn't send it earlier. And if you could send an email out, just letting everybody know, here's the link if they want to pay for the course themselves. Otherwise, just email me and I'll get them a free coupon. Okay.
Okay, great. You sent that to me or you sent it to LSB yet?
I sent it to you.
Okay, great. I will disseminate it to the board. Thank you.
Okay. And then I still need to get with PK. So I'll get with her within the next week or so and then organize our in-person. Quick question for you guys to think about is where is a good central location where if we have a live meetup, what area specifically? Because I have available office space, meeting rooms all over Houston, Harris County, Montgomery County. Just depends on where you think would be a good place to meet up. So just give it some thought and maybe send me an email and give you some ideas and I'll start looking for space.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of town, right? Sort of mm-hmm. Rice area. So I'll vote for that, but, yeah. I'm not sure where everyone else is. So yeah,
I think we're all over the place. So, cause
I'm one of those inside the loop people.
Yeah. You know? I'm one of those way outside the loop people out near Conroe. So, you know, I'm out here in Teresaville. but in any case, if you could suggest maybe a central area, if you know where people around about where people live, it's just a one day thing. So it's a trip we'll only have to make once for a really good cause. So good stuff.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate that. All right. Then that brings us, I believe, unless we have something from that's our inclusivity. The PNB director's reports is item 11. Susan is on excused absence and, I believe, who did she volunteered Michael? Was that, Michael, I think, you were volunteered to give the report for the PNB.
All right. I can try that. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Ron.
Hi, sorry everybody. For putting you on the spot, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, PNB met, Thursday and then the finance committee, which I was prepared to talk about, met yesterday. And, some of the two things, overlap. The, finance committee found out that, we are making steady progress with our auditors to get our taxes in line for the last few years. I think Sandy mentioned that. If you didn't, anyway, the auditor, the audit, you know, is going along pretty well. Looks good. I won't fill in too much of the backstory there, but we're behind in our audits, and I think we've heard some reports on that issue. So should be taken care of in the next couple of months is the word I hear. Sandy mentioned this concerning thing about our standing with the IRS that came up at the NFC, and we have happy news about that we got a letter from the IRS, an affirmation letter, which reinforced what we were kind of informally told, that we are an active 501c3 in good standing, that Specifica is. And then the last thing I have to report has to do with trying to get information from the five stations about where we stand with regards to money, to fund drives, income and expense. And KPFT is doing really good. Exemplary. Like, there's no room for improvement because all of our, you know, our figures are out being reported to the executive director, Stephanie. And, you know, things are strong with us, but KPFK and WBAI are struggling, as you know. But yesterday, we finally got some reports from the general managers of all of the stations, including BAI and KPFA, or KPFK and KPFA, but KPFK is the struggling one. And, we're going forward with that. What we're still waiting, you know, the chair of the finance committee was very happy, Fred, Dodsworth, about the movement that he saw in the right direction. And I think we're still kind of waiting for the details to come in, these consolidated income statements. And so there's a little ways to go yet to get all of the stations to report to Stephanie so that there's a central repository of for the network regarding how all of the stations are doing. Okay. That's my report. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Okay. Do we have any other director information? Let's see. Sean's not here, so it doesn't look like it. Do we have any other business then before this body? Otherwise, that takes us to item 12, which is confirmation of the date of the next meeting, which would be October 14th. It's late in the month. Any objection or difficulties with that date? Not hearing anything. We're confirming that October 14th is our next meeting. The next item then is adjournment of this meeting. And I have a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Debbie. Seconded by Anita. Thanks. I believe so. Appreciate that. All right, then this meeting is adjourned at 8:33 p.m. Thanks also for the other folks who joined the meeting. I saw Robin on there and Blue. I appreciate that. It's nice that they could join and see what's going on. Thanks. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, folks.
Bye. Thanks. All right. Good night.
Thank you.